take on the Southern Illinois Miners. A 7:05 first pitch as they celebrate Christmas in July. And, well, some Indians fans believe they celebrated Christmas in July yesterday with a big trade that went down. Top prospect Francisco Mejia going to the Padres in exchange for a couple of relievers, Adam Simber and two-time All-Star Brad Hand as well. And here to provide some more insight on the newest members of the Indians bullpen, we bring in Nick Stevens with FriarsOnBase.com, a Padres fan-sided site. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
We appreciate you joining us here and giving us some of your time, and I want to get into yesterday's deal. Obviously, you know, when you take a look at the two relievers that the Indians just acquired, everybody immediately in love with Brad Hand for all the obvious reasons. Not only does he provide some really nice punch for this season to this Indians bullpen, but he's a guy that's under control for a few years into the future. But I think for a lot of Tribe fans, the unknown was Adam Simber. He's a rookie late in his career, but what is it that has made him so successful this season?
So, you know, Simber's the same way. He's a guy that the Indians will have control over for a couple years. I think he has a few more years till he's arbitration eligible, but he's 27 years old now. He just made his major league debut at the very beginning of this season. He made the 25-man roster at a training camp. What made him successful is that he was finally able to get left-handed hitters out. You know, he has, I don't know if you've seen him pitch or if the listeners and fans out there have watched him pitch, but he has one of the most unorthodox deliveries you'll ever see. And take notice of his front foot when he comes in for the first game against for the Indians. He takes that front foot. Well, first, if there's a runner on base, he will stick his head almost between his legs. And then he takes his front foot and he will point it straight out the center field. And then he comes around from underneath. He has the second lowest release point in all of Major League Baseball. And he was finally able to get some left-handed hitters out, and he's a strikeout guy. He's a swing and miss pitcher.
The release point is one of the things that really blew me away. I was looking at a Fangraphs article yesterday talking about that release point. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but when he lets that go, he lets it go just over 2 feet above the ground, right?
Yeah, it's. I think it's like 2 feet something inches. I can't remember. I know the article you're referencing. It's extremely low. And also, because of that such low release point, when he throws the ball actually does rise when it reaches the batters. And I know I've seen a lot of quotes from guys that have said, like, it's especially for right-handed hitters, they can't pick up the baseball. And then when it gets right in front of them, that ball shoots up even more. So it makes it even harder to hit.
Nick, what kind of velocity are we talking about? I mean, most sidewinders aren't going to give you a whole lot in the way of velo. It's all about the arm angle. And as you mentioned, look, when that fastball starts to rise a little bit, it's a heck of a lot tough to barrel up. But what kind of velocity are we talking about with this fastball?
You're looking at about, I think he averages around 86 miles an hour with the fastball. It's not very fast. He's a two-pitch pitcher. He's got the fastball. He's got the slider that's like 76, 77 miles an hour, I think. But it's really what's made him so successful is just that delivery and that deception with the baseball, especially against righties. You know, lefties hit him in the minors. Lefties hit him hard and often. But he's controlled that a lot better. I think lefties are still hitting like 280, 290 against him, which is about 100 points lower than what he was giving up in the minors. But, yeah, I mean, your fastball is not too much, but it's all the deception there.
Obviously, time will tell, but at least initially, it appears as though he's going to project as really kind of a matchup guy for Terry Francona coming out of the Indians bullpen. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, and looking at, you know, the Indians and looking at it to the playoffs, when you're facing those big right-handed guys like Judge and Stanton and Altuve, you know, Simber doesn't have experience against the American League. I looked it up this morning. He's only made one appearance against the American League team. He put in two innings against the Astros. Two innings, didn't give up a hit, struck out three guys. You know, that could be an advantage, too, for him, is that, well, for the Indians, you know, maybe they can, as a matchup guy, they can maybe hide him against those teams they're going to face in the playoff. But, yeah, you know, that's the best option for him. Bring him up against the righties.
Nick, you always hear that comparison made about National League guys coming over to the American League, sometimes a little harder to get into. But does that ring true in your thoughts for a bullpen guy? I mean, he's not really pitching against pitchers either way when he enters the games.
No. I mean, I don't think, honestly, with his attitude, you know, listening to the interviews and watching him play and what he tells reporters and see him out there on the sidelines, like, I don't think he's going to have any issue whatsoever crossing over leagues. He's got a bulldog mentality, and he understands that. I think there was a great article by Dennis Lynn. I think he's with The Athletic now. He did a full profile on Adam Simber at the beginning of the year, and he said, look, I got sent back to Double-A last year, and I thought this was it for my baseball career. He's a 26-year-old guy still in Double-A, but he put in the work, and he's determined. And he had a couple of rough spots, but every time he got hit hard here in San Diego, he rebounded with some outstanding outings, so I don't think it'll be a problem at all.
Nick Stevens with FriarsOnBase.com joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, breaking down yesterday's trade between the Tribe and the San Diego Padres. Well, let's get into Brad Hand here. I mean, really steady consistency over the last three seasons, a two-time All-Star, and I think really what struck the Indians was the idea that not only do they have him just for this year, but they've got him for the next couple of years as well. How much do you think the contract had to do with this? Obviously, the results are there. He has pitched extraordinarily well, and again, you don't become a two-time All-Star by accident, but do you think it was more so the control and the contract portion of this that made him more attractive to the Indians?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why they definitely dealt the high-level prospect that they did. He's making like $6 million next year. I think the year after that, you're only going to be paying him about $7 million. And then 2021, there's a club option for $10 million, which still isn't that bad. If he's a guy that can hold up for another 3 years, you're going to get still one of the most elite closers in baseball for $6 or $7 million over the next couple of years. And I know the Indians have Cody Allen, but if you can bring Brad Hand in the eighth inning, I mean, this is a guy that's you're paying him pennies basically. And like you said, he's a two-time All-Star. And he's striking out the 35-36% of batters he faced this year.
The two primary pitches here, he's got that fastball, which he's been able to pinpoint, and also a pretty filthy slider. People around here, of course, have fallen in love with the slider of Andrew Miller. Where would you say Brad Hand's slider compares to Andrew Miller's?
I'd say it's right on par. I've seen some stuff that says it's better. Some people like it better than Andrew Miller's. Maybe Andrew Miller's right now, maybe not peak Andrew Miller. But, yeah, that slider, it is nearly unhittable. You know, he throws it like 60% of the time, and you use the right word, filthy. That's the word that everybody uses. I know it produces one of the highest swing and miss rates in all of Major League Baseball. So that's a deadly pitch.
And it's deadly not necessarily just because he's been able to get lefties out with that too, but he's become so incredibly successful because that's become a very difficult pitch for most righties to hit as well.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you look at, let's see if I can pull this up here. And if you're looking at his like left-right split, I mean, there's really not much difference. Yeah, I mean, left 148 against him, but righties are only hitting like 225 against them. So still pretty impressive. And his strikeout rate is, again, like through the roof on both sides. And that slider, it's just, it moves. It moves away. It comes at you. It's hard to pick up. It's a thing of beauty. I know Padres fans are already missing it. The banter on social media and everything, we already miss that slider.
Again, Nick Stevens with FriarsOnBase.com, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Make sure you give Nick a follow at CoachNick_14. That's at CoachNick_14. Nick, I think it's interesting, too, because here everybody is just so thrilled with the idea that the Indians finally bolstered their bullpen. It had become a real big problem over the last couple of months. But when you break the trade down, you know, the Indians gave up a prospect, albeit a very good one, in order to get two arms that they could immediately add to make an impact to the bullpen. Were you surprised to see this go down the way it did, only because it's usually the other way around? Usually it costs you a couple of prospects in order to get a big league ready player. Were you surprised that it was just Mejia going back to the Padres in this trade?
Yeah, I was even surprised both ways if you look at it. you know, the rumors have been out there that Hand was, you know, every contending team was looking and calling Brad Hand for the last 2 years. And from the Padres side of things, this farm system is so stacked with guys, except now the issue is becoming that they've got about 10 guys. Five or six of them are on their top 30, top 35 prospect list here that are going to be open to the Rule 5 draft in December. So I know a lot of people are thinking probably package some of those guys with Brad Hand might come about. But I think this trade is a win-win for both teams. You know, the Indians get two really good arms in their playoff run. I think this makes them a serious World Series contender now. And for the Padres, you know, they've got a guy in Austin Hedges who they're not sure about with his bat. And so Mejia, the excitement and tools that he brings to the game, it's a win-win on both sides.
One of the things I saw, Nick, was they were excited that he'd played the outfield as well as he's done that a little bit in Columbus, Francisco Mejia, that is. Is that an idea they could do that, or do they want to use him as a catcher, really?
So I know a lot of people initially thought maybe he might go to the outfield, and then I know he played third base a lot in the Arizona Fall League, and third base is a position the Padres are said to be in the market for to upgrade this year. But the Padres all year from day one, it's such a logjam in the outfield. They've got like eight guys. Injuries have kept that where they haven't had to address that issue. But they've got about eight legitimate major league options in the outfield. And then I know a couple of the beat writers came out right after the trade and said the Padres' plan with Mejia is they've already sent him down to El Paso in AAA. He's going to play there as catcher, and the plan is for him to stick at catcher for the foreseeable future.
Well, and that's why I think this trade also made a lot of sense for him as well, because if he had stayed here, the idea is he would have never really seen much action, if any, behind the dish unless there was an injury or a series of injuries. It didn't seem like the Indians were crazy high on him defensively as a backstop, but they obviously, like a lot of others, they were enamored with his bat. But, you know, this is a good trade for him personally because he gets to start over with a different organization and one, too, that it really seems like is going to give him the green light or give him every opportunity to make it to the big leagues as a catcher.
Yeah, no, it's his. If he wants it, it's completely his. And some of the words and reports that have come out are like I said, it's here's your job at El Paso. We want to see what you can do. I think everybody already knows he has one of the best arms behind the plate in all of baseball. But here it is. Let's see if you can develop and let's see if you can get in with our staff. And I haven't seen too much if they're thinking maybe September call-up or even a call-up before then. But I think definitely next year, you know, looking at next year's spring training, that starting catcher job is 100% his if he wants it.
Well, Nick, we can't let you go without asking you about Eric Lauer. We'd be remiss if we didn't ask about the former Midview Mitty. Of course, he was able to make his major league debut for the Padres earlier this season. In taking a look at what he has done for the Padres and as he's been able to climb the ladder through the Padres minor league system, what are some of the things that Padre fans and Padre brass have said about him?
A lot of people really like Lauer. I mean, you look at him, he came up and his first start of I think everybody wanted to hit the reset button on him immediately because he finally got the call-up. Padres fans were ecstatic. There's so many great pitching prospects. We saw Joey Lucchese come up earlier. And then when we heard Lauer's coming up, fans are excited. And then I think it was a rain delay, like an hour rain delay, and he was in Colorado at Coors making his first start. And Coors got him, but ever since then, he's just gotten better and better and better. He's throwing like a 94-mile-an-hour fastball now when he didn't have that velocity down in the minors. He's throwing 94. There are reports coming out that now he's got this new cut fastball that I think one of his opponents used a word I don't think I can say on the radio to describe it. But people are in love with Eric Lauer here. We like him. And I know his last two starts, I know he just missed the – right before the All-Star break, he just missed throwing a complete game, one hitter. I think he just missed the shutout. But he's been on fire lately. The velocity's up. Strikeouts are up. He's keeping guys off the base paths, and he's got a future here in the starting rotation.
Very nice. We know the local listeners here certainly love hearing that. I know a lot of people in our listening area were very, very excited when he made his debut for the Padres a little bit earlier this year. Well, Nick, Great stuff. This is a lot of fun. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time and joining us here to break down this trade, and we'll definitely do this again soon.
Yeah, anytime, guys. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much again. Nick Stevens with FriarsOnBase.com, a Padres fan sided site. Make sure you give Nick a follow on Twitter as well. You can follow him at @CoachNick_14. That's at @CoachNick_14. Nick's got some great stuff on Twitter, and obviously, as you found out right there, very, very clued into what the Padres are doing at the majors and at the minors. And obviously, that's a very, very fun organization to keep your eye on right now. 10 prospects in the top 100. So certainly they have reloaded. Francisco Mejia expected to be a very big part of that. But Matt Douglas, that was awesome. It was a lot of fun to listen to him tell us about the quirks and the delivery of Adam Simber. But really, more importantly, I think certainly giving Indians fans even more hope with Brad Hand and what he can do not only this year but in future years as well.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the fact they have these guys inked up for the next few years as well, I think, is the beauty of it. Simber, he had alluded to, I hadn't actually seen video of him. You and I know, both kind of looked at each other and said, who's Adam Simber? I'd pull